From the KTOO newsroom, I'm Yvonne Crumry. A Petersburg nurse was nationally recognized for her achievement as a student and as a professional. Angela Minish received a DAISY Award for providing compassionate care to patients and for being committed to the profession of nursing. KFSK's Angela Denning reports.
Angela Minish has been a nurse supervisor at the Petersburg Medical Center for many years. The road there was a personal one.
I wanted to pursue nursing since I was a young mother with a, child with medical complexities.
Her son's medical conditions required regular interactions with nurses, which opened Manish's eyes to the profession. The care she and her family received inspired her.
I was just always so impressed by the nurses that were helping us and caring for him, and there was just something about it. I really, really wanted to be a nurse.
Manish worked her way up the ranks, starting as a volunteer EMT for the community. She then became a CNA, certified nursing assistant, through a program with the local hospital. Also through the hospital, she became a registered nurse. And this spring, she completed a program to become a nurse practitioner through the George Mason University. It's a new online program that included hands-on training with local physicians. George Mason recently honored Manish with a National DAISY Award for her passion for nursing and providing compassionate care to her patients.
Really recognizing the commitment to the profession.
Tina Carraher is co-founder of the DAISY Foundation.
Nurses don't want the recognition, but gosh, it really makes them feel good when someone takes the time to say, you're making a difference, and we appreciate it.
About 23 years ago, Carraher's husband ended up in the hospital and died within 8 weeks from a rare autoimmune disease. She had a newborn at the time and says the nurses helped her family so much that they started the DAISY Foundation in memory of her husband.
We expected excellent clinical skills. What we didn't expect was the care and compassion that they brought to him, even when he was completely sedated, and that they brought to us as a family.
The foundation has grown into a national program, partnering with over 5,000 healthcare organizations. Manish's award is lifelong and gives her the opportunity for scholarships and grants for continuing education, plus invitations to national nursing organizations. Petersburg nurse manager Jennifer Briner says Manish is a fantastic nurse, so she thinks the DAISY Award is fitting. Briner has worked with Manish for over 20 years.
She's excellent with patients. She's got a good bedside manner. She's calm. She stays calm even in chaotic situations. She's very positive, both with patients and then also with staff. She's been one of our nurse supervisors for a lot of years now, and she has a way of encouraging people.
Briner says Manish follows the rules and uses best practices for all procedures. She says she's also a doer and a problem solver.
So if there's an issue, she doesn't let just the obstacle stop us from going forward. She figures out a way to get it done.
As a nurse practitioner, Manish will be able to diagnose patients and prescribe medications. She hopes to work as a primary care provider in the Petersburg Clinic. Briner is proud of that potential move, but says Manish will leave big shoes to fill. In Petersburg, I'm Angela Denning.
And in other news, Haynes Formline artist James Hart will apprentice with several master Tlingit and Haida artists beginning this summer. After about 4 years developing Northwest Coast Formline design and painting techniques, the young artist says he's excited to take his skills to the next level in glass and carving. KHNS's Corinne Smith reports.
James Hart sits in his studio overlooking Main Street in Haynes, bathed in afternoon spring sunlight and a sweeping view of Mount Rapinski. Northwest Coast Formline paintings and paddles hang on the walls, and a splitboard leans against one wall, all painted by his brother, cousin, and Hart himself.
My name is James Grucich Hart, and I'm an artist.
He puts the finishing touches on a new Formline painting, outlining a bold black design highlighted by red forms and a yellow background. He began focusing on Northwest Coast Formline art just a few years ago.
It's been a very long road from the start, which was a paddle making class with Wayne Price here in Haynes at the wood shop at the school. And from there, was able to apprenticed with him on 2 40-foot dugouts and kind of wasn't sure if that was the direction that I wanted to keep going, but it just kept calling me back.
From there, he began taking formline design classes with Tsimshian artist David Robert Boxley of Metlakatla. Then the COVID pandemic hit.
I spent a lot of time just working on designs. My design work has gotten a lot better, and I felt like I was in a place where I'm comfortable designing, and now I want to start learning how to carve these designs.
Up next is something totally new for Hart, working in glass. He was selected to attend a workshop at the Pilchuck Glass School in Washington State, working with renowned Tlingit glass artist Preston Singletary and master carver Joe David.
We're going to be blowing glass and then sandblasting our designs onto these different pieces, so super excited.
Then Hart will apprentice with revered master Haida artist Robert Davidson.
If you're unfamiliar with Robert Davidson, he's your favorite Northwest Coast artist, favorite artist.
Davidson is a pivotal figure in the Northwest Coast art renaissance starting in 1969 and is an internationally known carver of totem poles and masks, printmaker, painter, and jeweler. Hart approached Davidson last winter and they discussed his work and agreed Hart would apprentice with him at his British Columbia studio for the next few years.
I'll be honest, I jumped around and fist pumped a few times and then probably cried a little bit too. So it's like all the emotions wrapped up in one. It's like an extremely difficult art form to kind of learn and start getting good at and to kind of quietly be working by myself up to the point where I'm getting an opportunity to work with one of the best. It's like, I don't know, I feel extremely fortunate.
Hart tears up a bit and grabs a paintbrush again.
He does a lot for Haida Gwaii and Haida people. He's also a little bit Tlingit, so that's also fun to put in. But he holds his culture extremely highly, and it seems like that's been his driving force, is the culture. And to be able to kind of learn from somebody and learn how to create a career that's culturally based is really what I'm looking for.
Community members may know Hart from a number of leadership roles in Haines. He's the president of the Chilkoot Indian Association and involved in tribal and regional public affairs. He's also Coach Hart to young basketball players at Haines High or Little League players during the summer. Hart says he plans to travel back and forth between Haines and BC and continue participating in those areas, particularly mentoring and sharing traditional arts with youth. In Haines, I'm Corinne Smith.
2 years after becoming one of the most sealed-off locations in the United States, St. Paul Island is reopening to visitors, the Alaska Beacon reports. St. Paul Island Tour, a business within the Unagan-owned TDX Corp., is resuming its operations after a pause forced by the COVID-19 pandemic. Though distant from any of North America's big human population centers, St. Paul and the four other Pribilof Islands are at the center of the Bering Sea ecosystem and are teeming with marine animals. The island is considered a premier destination for devoted birders. More than 30 species have been identified there, some of Asian origin and seldom spotted in North America. St. Paul is also the breeding site for more than half of the world's northern fur seal population. It holds a large concentration of endangered Steller sea lions. Because of its remote location and sparse medical services, St. Paul maintained some of the nation's strictest COVID rules from the start of the pandemic, with tight limits on travel. In all, St. Paul wound up with 57 confirmed COVID cases, according to the city government, a much lower rate than that for the state as a whole. And in other news, ConocoPhillips Alaska announced Friday that it has started oil production at a satellite reservoir of its Alpine field. That's according to the Alaska Beacon. The well was drilled about a month ago by Doyon 26, the largest mobile drill rig in North America, nicknamed the Beast. The company said it set an extended reach record. The unit is located about 12 miles north of the village of New Iqsut on state land. It's just east of the National Petroleum Reserve in Alaska, according to state information. It's expected to produce 20,000 barrels per day at peak production. Production started on Wednesday. Volume from the single well was already 10,000 barrels a day, the company said in its media release. For more stories like these, visit ktoo.org. And this is the KTOO Newsroom.